From early times, the Europeans had festivals according to the harvest cycle, where they would give thanks to God for the good harvest. It was also a time when communities got together to rejoice and celebrate, because farming was really hard work. And so, you know, when it was the end of the time, they really wanted to celebrate. The European settlers, when they came to America, continued this tradition. Now, there probably were earlier celebrations, but Thanksgiving really dates back to about 1621, when the Plymouth colonists and the Wampanoag Indians had a harvest festival for 3 days. 3 days, mind you. They really wanted to celebrate. The colonists came over on the Mayflower, 1620, and that was a very hard trip. But the winter was devastating. You know, out of 102, they were reduced to 56. In other words, close to half of them died. But they had the help of the Indians, and without the Native Americans, I don't think they would have made it through, none of them. The harvest of 1621 was a good one, and that's why they wanted to celebrate and have this feast. And, you know, for 3 days celebrating, rejoicing for God's providence, that God had cared for them and supported them. Today, Thanksgiving has taken on many other traditions and practices, besides the offering of thanks to God. You know, we have our family gathering, we have sumptuous meals, turkey with all the trimmings, you know, stuffing, cranberries, pumpkins. It's taken on a lot more. And of course, we have football games, we have parades, and it's the kickoff of the shopping season. So family get-togethers, feasts, entertainment, you know, they have their part in the Thanksgiving celebration. But this morning, I'd like to focus on the giving of thanks to the Lord, because that's what the first Thanksgiving was all about. You know, that's why they got together. Later today, I want to ask you to do something. Get a piece of paper and write your answer to this one question. What am I thankful to God for this year? You know, you may have one thing, or maybe you have a whole list of things. You may find it difficult to count your blessings, as the song mentioned. You know, what happens is that we are so busy that we don't recognize some of the blessings that we receive. And you probably remember more the bad things than the good ones. But don't be harsh on yourself, that if you cannot come up with a quick response. You know, it's one of our human feelings that we are often unable to quickly give thanks. But if you would take the time to write what you're thankful for on a piece of paper, put it in your Bible, and then from time to time look at it and reflect on it. One of the most powerful set of words in the English language is thank you. In Japanese, it will be arigato gozaimasu. It could be shortened to thanks, or in Japanese, kansha. These words are powerful because they take the focus off yourself and put it on someone else, another person. You are recognizing the importance of this person that has done, he or she has done for you a favor or some kind of benefit, and you are then expressing your appreciation. That makes the person feel good, and you know what? You feel good yourself when you see that that person is, you know, is pleased, is enjoying. So it's definitely an impact on you and on the others. That's why the word thank you is so powerful. Let us look more closely, you know, what is involved in thank you. Initially, it is acknowledging or recognizing the favor or benefit that has been given to you. The recipient, if the recipient doesn't acknowledge it, there's no thank you. The giver or server is simply ignored, and the results can be a very awkward situation. Embarrassing could lead to disappointment, even bitterness. Acknowledgement usually takes place immediately after, you know, let's say if someone does you a favor, you acknowledge it, and then immediately you respond to it. It's an expression of appreciation. If you do not respond right away, you know, because you're busy or whatever excuse you may have, then what happens is that, you know, you think, well, you say, I'll do it afterwards. And then you forget about it. Or you may think about it many days later, and then you can't say thank you because it would be quite embarrassing. So usually it's best to immediately respond by showing appreciation. So if God, you know, provides you with something, then your appreciation is usually expressed in your prayer to God. Or you may want to write it down. And if it's a person that provided you with this favor, then you can express it verbally, in person, or on the phone, or write a thank you note, or send an email, or even use social media. But more critical than the expression of appreciation is the effect on our attitude. Giving thanks is an inward feeling that is expressed by external behavior. So you project on the outside what you feel on the inside. When we give thanks, it's kind of a positive feeling that emerges from within, and then you take on a cheerful disposition. You lighten up, and then you radiate joy. I'll talk about this a little more. Scripture says that we should do two things. We should thank continuously and for everything. Hebrews 13:15 says, continuously praise God. So we should always be giving thanks. We should always have the word thank you on the tip of your tongue. When we use it continually, it becomes a habit, and it really is a mindset. You know, I have tried it, and I said, well, okay, you know, I'm going to really make it a point to say thank you every time. And you know what? It was habit forming. And, you know, it just comes out naturally. It becomes part of your behavior pattern. It becomes a habit. You say, well, you know, life is so fast and I'm so busy, and therefore, you know, I just can't take time out to, you know, say thank you, you know, continuously. But we can learn to do it. And what I have learned is that one way in which you can thank continuously is to have a one sentence thank you. For example, you can say to the Lord, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Period. That's the end. How long did that take me? 2-3 seconds to say it? So, A thank you doesn't have to be long or elaborate. It could just be one sentence. So even in the busyness, even when you're driving, you don't have to text God. All you have to say is, you know, one sentence. So not only must we be giving thank you continuously, but it must be for everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is a verse of favorite of many of you. In fact, Toshio Huber and Phil, you cited this scripture verse as your favorites a few Sundays ago. But 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, in the NIV translation, it says circumstances. Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So the Apostle Paul, as Phil mentioned the last time, set a very high standard. Most of us would have difficulty getting even close to it. Ephesians 5:20, Paul says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying again, give thanks always, that is continuously, and for all things. Notice in this scripture verse that we are to give thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, why do we do this? Why do we go through Jesus Christ? Because He is our mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and it is the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. So He's our mediator, and that's why when we give thanks, it's in the name of Christ. Well, you say, giving thanks for all things, does that mean that you give thanks even when things go badly? You suffer setbacks? Or you're suffering pain? Yes. This is very difficult to do. You know, our immediate reaction is not to thank for God for our adversities. You know what we usually do, the first thing, if something bad happens to us? We complain. We complain. The next step, we feel sorry for ourselves. You know, I call that a pity party. You pity yourself. And usually you share it with other people, you want them to pity you. So it's very difficult to give thanks, you know, when things go wrong. In fact, some people, you know, they even talk disparagingly about God and even may blame God for their misfortune. But if we can overcome our initial disappointment and recognize God's support, then we will gain strength to move forward. See, rather than being depressed, we have hope. And we can see something ahead of us. So really, there's a dramatic shift in attitude here. When we thank God, we shift our attention from ourselves to God. So we cannot, you know, be preoccupied with ourselves. The hurt that we have will slip away as we approach God. So this is really a transformation of our attitudes. And giving up thanks to God bring forth such a change. I ask this question, do you want to please God? Do you want to make God smile? If you do, give thanks. God is pleased when we recognize Him and expresses our gratitude. Psalm 69, verses 30 and the first part of verse 31. Let me read that. I will praise God's name in song and glorify Him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord. This will please the Lord. apostle, looking at Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Let me read that too. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruits of our lips, giving thanks in his name. But do not forget to do good and to share. For such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is well pleased. You know, when you do these good things, when you give thanks. So, God, like any other individual that, you know, receiving the thanks, is obviously pleased to receive the recognition, then expression of appreciation. It will bring forth a smile on your face. It will bring a smile on the face of God. Can you be angry while giving thanks? No, you can't. You see, a different thought process is involved here. When, you know, in terms of thought process and also the muscles on your face. Different thought processes and different muscles when you are giving thanks and when you are angry. I'm not a physiologist, but I read somewhere that it takes more muscles to be angry than to smile. Somehow, it's easy to smile, less muscles involved. When you're angry, you got frowning, oh, you know, your mouth gets distorted, and, you know, try it, look in the mirror. Try this out when you get home. So when you give thanks, you smile. You cannot be angry and smile at the same time. Try it. It's impossible because different muscles are involved. You cannot be grumpy. For if you are grumpy, the words thank you will not come out. So I want you, when you go home, to look in the mirror and try this. But also when you get home, not to forget to write down on the paper what you are grateful to the Lord for what he has done this past year. And, you know, it may be one item, or maybe many. But the quantity isn't important. It's a matter of the heart. So, you know, write this down, put it in the Bible, and from time to time, look at it, reflect on it. You know, when you really come to think about it, you know, when you sit down and quietly think about it, we have so many things to be thankful for. And, you know, how can you summarize it? It's very difficult. But Paul did it, I believe, in 2 Corinthians 9:15. You know, he's writing, and it's like suddenly, like he drops his pen. And this thought flashes in his mind. It's the end of the paragraph. And he has this incredible sentence. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's how he ends that paragraph. By this, of course, Paul meant Christ Jesus. You know, he is our indescribable gift. I mean, you cannot put into words, you know, this gift of God. So, this Thanksgiving, we are very thankful for this gift. So, really, let us thank God and let's make him smile.